let me ask you another question. Yes, you may have the Holy Ghost, but does the Holy Ghost have you? That's a whole different question. It's one thing to say, I possess the Holy Spirit, but does he have you? Can he speak to you and use you and send you? Do you hear his voice and can you obey? Because this says that the kingdom of God looks like that. The kingdom of God looks like righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, on the day of Pentecost, they had to explain something to us because the Apostle Peter had to stand up and say, these men are not drunk as you suppose, because they were on the streets dancing. And they realized that they thought that these people had come out of the upper room and they were all drunk. And he said, wait a minute. First of all, they're not drunk as you suppose. First of all, it's only 9 a.m. in the morning, so we're not drunk. We haven't started all of that yet. And here's the other thing that you need to understand. But you know, drunks sometimes are silly and sometimes they're mean, and sometimes they're very embarrassing to everybody that's around them because they don't make much sense. But this is not what happened on the day of Pentecost. They're not silly. They're not embarrassing. They're making a lot of sense because Peter, who is dancing with them, stands up and preaches such a powerful sermon because of the joy of the Holy Spirit that just filled him in that upper room, that 3,000 people gave their heart to Jesus Christ in the streets that day because of what they saw in the upper room. So this was a joy that was uncommon. This was not the kind of joy that people would have gotten from a party. He said, these men are not drunk. They have found something. They have found a new source of joy, and that is the heavenly joy that comes from the Lord. You know, Satan doesn't want you to have joy because he knows you'll find power and strength. I know that Faith will remember this story well. I remember one Sunday morning at Twin Rivers, Faith was over on the keyboard. I was on the other side, kind of like where I stand now, waiting to come on to preach. And all of a sudden, our music was really great. Obviously, you know, Faith was in charge of it, so I'm not just partial, it's just the truth. And we had a 100-voice choir up there just jamming, and we had a band that wouldn't quit. And these guys were, I mean, they were, that morning, it felt like the whole house was swaying, you know, one of those times. I mean, the music was just right on, the songs, the whole congregation. We had a jumping congregation there. We didn't have room enough to shout. So, you know, if you have a small church, they kind of shout like this. If you have a lot of people, they kind of shout like this because that's all the room you get. So we had one of those jumping congregations because you would hit somebody if you tried anything else. So everybody was kind of jumping to the beat and, you know, jumping up and down. I'm sure that all the Jewish people were doing a little bit of this under the seat, you know, something like that. But everybody was just jumping the joy of the Lord. Next thing I know, there's this girl that comes up from the back, and she gets right around the front. Now, we had a few of the elders out there dancing in the aisle. We had a few other people that were, you know, just kind of like here. We had a few people that get free in the spirit. They were all worshiping. Well, I saw this girl come up from the back, and she was not doing a church dance. I don't want to get too explicit, but I just tell you, it wasn't a church dance. I don't know where she learned that, but it wasn't at church. It was kind of spiritual, though, because it was lo and behold, and it was everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So there was scripture to back up her dance, but it was not something. And I had all my elders. I had 42 elders that all sit in the front, and they were like doing one of those Fred Sanford moves, you know, like they're looking at me like, you got to do something. This is getting bad. You got to do something. And I always hate it when I have to be the one to do something. So I didn't know what to do. And I came down, took my microphone, because everybody was watching her. At this point in time, I just had to either ignore it or do something about it. So I walked down, stopped the music. I said, wow, you are really happy this morning, aren't you? She said, yes, I am. I said, well, have you ever been to our church before? No, this is my first time. I said, well, what are you so happy about? Do you mind if I ask? She said, not at all. She said, I have been Mormon my whole life. And in that world that I was in, my husband was abusing me and no one would believe me. They all took his place. And I realized that I had to leave or I was going to get hurt. I have my children back there, and I had to leave them too because I knew he would come after us. And she said, I left 3 days ago, but I had to leave in such a hurry, I had no money. And when my car ran out of gas, I told the Lord, well, one of two things will happen. I'll crawl in the back seat and die, or somebody will arrest me, and at least they'll feed me, and I'll be safe. She said, that was my only plan. She said, I had enough money till my car ran out of gas on the side of the interstate here in St. Louis. She said, I'd been laying in that back seat for several hours, and I was just ready to die because I had no hope left in me. And she said, these men come and knocked on the window of the car, and she said, hey, we're the Stranded Motorist Ministry from Twin Rivers Worship Center. And we had one, it was a crazy ministry, but they would go around finding cars on the side of the road. And that's what they did every weekend. They did it Friday and Saturday night. They'd find cars on the side of the road and preach them a sermon, pray for them while they fixed their car. And they did it, they'd pour gas, whatever. And they, when they heard this lady's story, they said, well, we need to call another ministry in our church. And they called another group of ladies in our church who had a different ministry, like a life group ministry. They come and they pick this girl up. They took her to a hotel. They fed her. They gave her a night at the hotel and got her some clothes to wear. And she said, when I walked in this church, I was scared because I've only been to a Mormon church. It's the only church I've ever been in. But when I saw that choir singing and when I saw those people dancing, she said, something came over me. And I thought, I feel free for the first time in my life. I feel like something has just changed in me. I don't even know how to describe it, but there's something that has changed in me. And I just feel the joy of the Lord in a way I've never felt it. She said, when I realized that people could dance here, that's the only dance I know. So I got up and did the only dance I had because I realized other people were dancing. And I turned around and I said, is everybody all right with this? And everybody clapped and roared. They started singing and she kept on dancing. And we all kept dancing with her because she had just found Christ. And I remember one thing I said to that congregation, you think we're rejoicing? If you could roll back the scroll of heaven right now, there's a party going on in heaven. Because the devil thought he had it and we took it from him, and now there's another name written down in heaven. And if you think this is a dance, you should see what the angels are doing right now, because they're joy in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was a little boy, we attended a lot of country churches, but there was one little church we attended in Greenville, Tennessee, where I was born. It's called Bridges Chapel Church. In the small old country church, there was a big farmer. You guys have heard me talk about Half Done before. I haven't talked about him in a while. There's a great big farmer. He's the biggest man I've ever seen. And I don't know how big he was. He probably wasn't nearly as big as I thought he was because I was a little boy. You ever going back to a house thinking it was huge? And it's like, wow, from a child's mind, that was pretty huge, but it's not that big. And so, yeah, I don't really know how big he was, but I know he's a farmer. And he wore bib overhauls. So that's what he wore to church. Overhauls. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, right? The blue kind, the blue ones. Button in the front, zip right across the front. Whatever they're called, that's what he wore. And every Sunday, and he sit on the front row. And as a little boy, I just wanted to go sit next to him. He just felt so safe and so huge. But when that man, when they started singing, you had to get out of his way because he had his arms going just like this. Those great, big, burly arms of his would go to clapping. And every time I'd look up at him as a little boy, I was staring, thinking, God, whatever he's got, I want it. I can't even explain it. I don't even know, because I don't see that kind of joy everywhere. But I saw a man every time he came. I can remember as a kid the church singing the old song on the red back hymnal on page 333, I'll Fly Away. Anybody remember that song, I'll Fly Away? I remember the church singing I'll Fly Away, and I have vivid memories to this day of that old farmer. He was just smiling from ear to ear, and I thought, Lord, I don't know what he's so happy about, but whatever he has, please give it to me. And I realized now he had found something. Even with all of his hard work and long hours in the sun, he had found something that he could not find on this earth. He had found the joy of the Holy Ghost inside of him. And as a kid, I would just stare and stare and stare, wanting whatever he had inside of him to be a part of my life.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, Or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
You know, joy is a spiritual response to those who've encountered God. So when you have joy, it's because that you have come into the presence of God. It's not just a feeling, as I pointed out earlier, but it's actually a result of encountering God. Psalm 5 and 11 says this, "But let all who rejoice, who put their trust in you, let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who also love your name be joyful in you." How many of you believe the name of the Lord brings joy in your life? Amen? You know, some of you have gone with me to Romania before on a missions trip, and I've gone there many times and trained pastors and preached. And I remember, some of you will remember this one particular missions trip. Mandy, I think you were on it. Crystal, you were on it. There were several of you that were on this particular missions trip to Romania. And we had gone to all these churches, and we went to this gypsy church. And it was the last night we were there, and we went to this gypsy church. And the thing about it that I remember the most is that the Romanian people, the ones that we were ministering to, they were under communism for so long that they developed a different kind of worship culture because they were always being spied on. And they said a lot of their pastors were sent to concentration camps by the communists because they said you're sending secret messages to the United States. So they wouldn't allow people to speak in tongues out loud because they would get reported and have to go to prison because they thought they were encoding a message somehow. And so they couldn't get joyful. They couldn't preach on the blood of Jesus. They couldn't preach on spiritual warfare. And that night, I preached on spiritual warfare, not knowing any of this. And all of them said, "This is the first time in our life we have ever heard any message on spiritual warfare. It's just not a part of our culture, but it's what the Lord gave me to speak to them on." And so in this church, you have women on one side, you have men on the other side. They can't sit together. And during the songs, there's no clapping. There's no dancing, there's no expression at all, but they have found a way to get in the presence of God. So during the music, there is no expression, there is no clapping, they're just singing the song and then it's over. Nice, beautiful harmony, but then it's over. And then they would read a song or preach a sermon, it's all over. But when they asked them to pray, it was like thunder. When they asked these people to pray, they knew that if they were all praying in one voice, they couldn't be reported because no one could understand what they were saying. And they found liberty in that moment. And can I tell you guys, when they started praying, they would pray for a solid 15 minutes. And it was the loudest, most exuberant, most joyful prayer you have ever heard in your life. People were getting happy. They were rejoicing because they found a secret place in the place of prayer that they could crawl up safely in the arms of the Lord, and God would meet them there and bless them. They found out that in the presence of the Lord, if you can just get in His presence, there is the fullness of joy. And it was so evident in their lives when they would get to that place of prayer. It was like the whole place came alive. And then that night, because we'd been there all week long and we had watched this pattern everywhere we've been. But that night, we were going to the airport the next morning, and that evening when I got up to preach, they had never heard a sermon on spiritual warfare. And so I didn't know all of this. I didn't know anything about their background. So I'm asking them to repeat things out loud and everybody give the Lord praise. I mean, they're just doing things for the first time. It's like they're all clapping when I tell them to clap, and they're saying what I asked them to say, and they're engaging. And these guys will tell you, when we got to the altar call that night, there was something that broke loose in that gypsy church in Romania outside Bucharest. I'm telling you, there was something that broke loose in that church. You couldn't get anybody else in the building. It was literally packed from wall to wall, side to side, with hundreds of people in this room. But there was a glory, there was a joy that fell in that room, and those people got set free in a way that I can't even tell you. We were in the altars for over 2 hours that night because something unusual invaded their lives. It was joy in the presence of the Lord that had come into that place there in Romania. Hallelujah, hallelujah.